You are Locked On Kentucky, your daily podcast on the Kentucky Wildcats. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, what is going on, Big Blue Nation? Welcome on in to Locked On Kentucky, your daily Kentucky Wildcats podcast. I'm your host, Lance Dahl, writer for Sports Illustrated for various SEC-related things. But on this podcast, we take a dive into all things Kentucky athletics. On today's episode of Locked On Kentucky, we are going to be discussing San Diego State transfer Keyshad Johnson's visit to Kentucky. According to what's going on social media, the visit's going pretty well. We're going to dive into that today. Also, going to be answering listener questions, three of them. I'm going to say off the top here, if you have any questions for the show, you can leave them in the YouTube comments below, or you can hit me on Twitter at LockedOnUK. Message me, tag me if you've got a question. I'll do my best to answer it here for you on the show. Thank you so much for making Locked On Kentucky your first listen every single day. Want to remind everybody out there that we are, in fact, free and available on all platforms. If you're on YouTube, subscribe to the show. It would mean a ton to us here. Also, like the video. I would also appreciate that as well. If you're listening on podcast, follow, review, subscribe wherever you are, rate it. Let me know your thoughts whenever you give your rating as well. If you're listening on Apple or Google, that is. So let's go ahead and get into it. Keyshad Johnson, a transfer from San Diego State. We talked about this kid just a couple of days ago. He is now on his visit to Kentucky. If I'm not mistaken, he leaves tomorrow. He was he started his visit yesterday, and he's been going through today, and he'll be heading out of Lexington tomorrow afternoon. If I'm clear on that. So he's been visiting the different facilities. He's been hanging out with Coach Cal, obviously, this midweek trip for the 6'7" forward out of SDSU. And according to what Johnson has been posting on social media, things have been going well. I want to preface what I'm about to discuss here by talking about the last kid that Kentucky was in pursuit of that they got on campus for a visit, and that was Hunter Dickinson. Hunter Dickinson, you know, made the process of, you know, coming to Kentucky, you know, walking through the visit, getting to talk with Cal. And what we heard coming out of it was that it was a good visit, but right before his announcement to Kansas, we heard a leak from a couple of different places in the Kentucky media sphere that Dickinson was not impressed with Kentucky's facilities, or compared to other schools. At the end of the day, I think money probably factored more into Dickinson's decision than anything, which is a whole different conversation for another time, and that another time is never going to happen. But Dickinson was not impressed, just based on what we know about Kentucky's facilities. And then you get a kid from San Diego State who he did make the national titles. SDSU did make the national title this season, so it was a good basketball team. But I think if you get the kid in that probably has significantly less or has seen significantly less when it comes to resources, facilities, NIL, and based on what he's seeing at UK, he is blown away. He was shocked on a couple of videos that he posted to his social media about just looking at everything with Coach Cal, said that everything was wild, it was crazy, it was cool looking. Cal apparently in one of the videos started to explain to him, Johnson and one of his friends, the Kobe story about how he almost drafted him back when he was with the Nets. It was just a really, really cool couple of videos that Johnson put out on social media. And they apparently at one point they go into this to Cal's office in one of these videos. I believe Jack Pilgrim of KSR has this video up. Tristan Ferris may have this video up as well if you want to go watch it on Twitter. And I have Jack's tweet pulled up here now. He was walking into his office, hanging out with Coach Cal, said that everything was going on was really cool. And then Johnson said, "Give me a ring, Coach. Give me a ring." And I think that that speaks to where Kentucky is still at, despite some of the negativity that the fan base may have. And I'm not criticizing that. I think some of it is very legitimate about how Kentucky has been faring recently. Very legitimate. I want to be clear on that. But the outside perspective for a kid coming from California that played for a team that has not been historically a dominant powerhouse, SDSU, I mean, they've been a really good college basketball program, just not on the level of Kentucky. Their vision, their perspective on a program like UK's is that they win national titles. They bring in five-star recruits. They are the best of the best, the cream of the crop, the top of the tier, the king of the hill, whatever have you. Kentucky is the best. And for him to come in and say he's taking in the facilities, you know, he's getting to soak in the stories, going getting to discuss all these different things with Coach Cal and what's on his mind, this power forward from SDSU who split time with somebody else, give me a ring. And I think if Kentucky's able to sell that dream to this kid, which I believe they can, then they're going to get a very solid power forward. Keyshaw Johnson, if you did not see the other episode, defensively strong. He was one of the better defenders on the Aztec squad on their way to the national title. Averaged 7.7 points, 5 rebounds. He shot 53.2% from the field. He was not a good three-point shooter, but I don't think Kentucky's going to ask him to do that. He's not committed. I want to be clear. It's just that it's clear that the visit's going very, very well. And I would lean towards Kentucky picking him up, considering they only right now have 7 scholarship players on their roster. Will they get to 10? I don't know. They need to pick it up in the transfer portal. I'll tell you that. They need to go ahead and start picking up guys like Keyshaw Johnson. He, I think, would be an excellent backup power forward to Aaron Bradshaw. Again, only 6'7", but he's big. He's physical. He started all 71 games during his junior and senior seasons. Averaged almost 24 minutes in his junior year, 22.2 in his senior year. What I pointed out the first time that we talked about this guy that I want to reiterate here, Kentucky is not looking for a starter at power forward. They are looking for a backup. Now, that's very difficult to do, to find somebody that is good enough but is willing to take that back seat to somebody else, in this case, Aaron Bradshaw. Very difficult to find that in the transfer portal, what you want, but also what they want to kind of coincide together. Keyshaw Johnson fits it perfectly. He didn't even average 8 points a game. I'm not saying statistically he's bad. I'm saying he split time with somebody else. We talked about him. I can't remember his name. I should have pulled it up. But he split time almost evenly with another power forward for SDSU last season, because SDSU had the talent and the ability to rotate those two guys. One of them was really good offensively. He actually averaged almost 10 points a game, if I'm not mistaken. And then Johnson was the defensive guy. He was the bruiser that was really good at collecting rebounds and just being physical. Johnson, by the way, scored 14 points in the national title game against UConn. The biggest stage of all, and he was still able to drop buckets. I think that this kid would be an excellent pickup, because I think he would be content being behind a guy like Bradshaw, or splitting time with a guy like Bradshaw, because that's what he's done his career. That's what he's expected to do. And so you give him the NIL, you give him the ability to win the ring, you give him the resources, the ability to develop a little bit further. I don't see why Johnson picks Kentucky or picks someone else over the Wildcats, unless it's just the desire to be that guy. I don't think that's what he wants, based on what we've read, what we've heard, what we've seen. And so you look at the other finalists. According to KSR, Arizona, Oklahoma, Texas, Kentucky, or Texas Tech, rather, and USC are teams that are considered the overwhelming favorites down the stretch. That is what KSR says. They also note that Johnson just took a visit to Arizona, and according to KSR, a decision is expected shortly after Johnson wraps up his visit to Kentucky. So there you have it. A perfect fit, really enjoying his trip. I think Kentucky needs him. They need bodies in the room at this point in the transfer portal cycle. So what are they going to do? We'll see. You can leave your thoughts about Keyshaw Johnson in the YouTube comments below. You can also hit us on the socials at LockedOnUK. I want to note something here before we move along from this conversation. Today, May 11th, is the final day to get into the transfer portal. It's the last day you can enter. May 31st is the deadline to get out of the NBA draft. I'm going to say it probably 2 or 3 more times here whenever we talk about Tshiebwe. Tshiebwe, I understand why he's taking his time with the draft process. Completely get it. Why wouldn't he? It feels like Kentucky, as they should be, is tethered to Tshiebwe in terms of decision-making. And it feels like Kentucky's being slower in the process to pick up transfer portal players than they normally would be, because they're waiting on him to make a decision. It's hurting Kentucky. I don't think you can argue else. You can argue anything else. It's hurting the Wildcats. And again, I get it. I understand why Shibuya is doing it. I'm not saying he shouldn't do it. I'm just saying it's hurting Kentucky. If the whole point of us as fans is to pull for our organization, pull for the team, pull for the players, I think that we can come to a consensus that getting Oscar Shibuya back would be great. But in the meantime, him not making a decision quicker puts Kentucky in a bad situation. That's where we're sitting right now. So today's the last day you can enter the transfer portal. How many big names are going to enter? I don't know. We've got a couple already. Actually, I just wrote another one down now that I remember them that we're going to talk about on tomorrow's show. So let's go ahead and dive into some listener questions here to wrap up today's show, because a couple of them do have to do with Shibuya, and they do have to do with the just kind of the transfer portal here in the next couple of coming weeks. Before we dive into that, want to tell you guys about our friends over at Built Bar. If you're looking for a really good snack, but you don't want all the sugar and calories, you've got to try Built. If you've not heard about Built before, if you've not heard about me talking about them on the program before, it's a phenomenal protein bar. I think it's the best one out there. It's covered in 100% real chocolate, so they taste absolutely incredible. But on top of this, they're really, really good for you compared to other protein bars out there. They are 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 17 grams of protein. They come in all these different great flavors. I love the salted caramel and cookies and cream flavors. I would encourage you to go over to Built.com and try those two flavors out. But if you cannot get to Built.com, or if you want to try out some other flavors, you can obviously get them over at that website. But you can also head to Walmart or Sam's Club. They've got boxes of different flavors, such as churro, peanut butter brownie, brownie batter puff, churro puff, double chocolate, coconut, a ton of different really good flavors for really good protein bars. You can replace your candy bars with these. I think these are great pre or post-workout snacks. Again, phenomenal, tastes great, good for you. Go check them out at Built.com, Walmart, Sam's Club. And when you do try them out, you can thank me later. All right, continuing along here on the Thursday edition of Locked On Kentucky, Lance Dahl hanging out here with you. So we've got three listener questions here for you today. And again, I want to reiterate what I said at the beginning of the show. If you have questions that you want answered, leave them in the comments or at Locked On UK on Twitter. You can find me there. Tag me. Give me an answer to give me a question that I can answer. If it's something that doesn't have to do with UK, like the other day I asked you, who's your favorite Mario Kart character? You can drop that as well. I'm open to anything. So if you want to shoot me a note, I will take a look at it and do my best to answer it. We've got three that we are going to tackle here today, though. Starting with Anonymous, he asks, how good of a three-point shooter is Reed Sheppard? Well, I can answer that question for you, Anonymous. Right now, Reed Sheppard was kind of tagged coming out of high school as a really good offensive player that was a really good shooter and really good from beyond the arc. That's what he's tagged as of right now. According to his high school statistics, in his junior season, he shot 41% from three. In his senior season, he shot 38.2%. In his first 2 years, freshman and sophomore, he shot 34.7% and 33.6% from beyond the arc. So all of those four average out to a career 37.3% shooter from beyond the arc. I would really weigh more on what the junior and senior campaigns were for Reed Sheppard, because I think that those are more important looking at his averages and his shooting numbers. For instance, he shot 88% and 89% from the foul line in his junior and senior seasons. Compare that to 77% in his freshman and sophomore campaigns. He was also taking more shots. His field goal percentage overall went up. His effective field goal percentage went up. He made more free throws. He got to the basket more. He averaged 30 points in his junior year and 25.2 in his senior season. He's a really, really good shooter, really good offensive player, and his three-point shooting ability is definitely one of the strengths of his game. Again, 40.9, 38.2. Those are the two numbers I think that we should be focusing on here when we're talking about Reed Sheppard. So, hope that answers your question. Wildcat Rewind asks, if Oscar Shibuya does not come back, do you see Ugonna Unyinzo as a starter or coming off the bench? I think it depends on who Kentucky lands in the transfer portal. So we've been talking about it for forever now. Yugana Nyanzo is coming back. Will Shibue come back? If Shibue comes back, Yugana is not going to be the starter. If Kentucky gets a solid transfer center, I would be hesitant to say that Yugana would be the starter. If Kentucky gets a guy like the Kansas kid that they're looking at right now, the Zubi Ejiofor, maybe they're looking at him as a backup power forward or backup center. Kentucky at that point, I think, would be looking at a situation where they'd have to start Onyenzo because they'd be bringing in somebody less experienced. So again, it's all relative to what does Kentucky do in the portal? Because they're going to do something. They have to do something. They can't just sit here and say, well, Oscar Shibue's in the portal. Yeah, so we're just going to look at these guys, but we're not going to get any of them because Shibue might come back. And they can't sit there and go whenever Shibue doesn't come back. They can't be like, oh, no, we didn't get anybody in the portal. It's now June, and Oscar Shibue's not coming back. So we're screwed. They have to make a move now. They have to go and make a decision. Whether that comes within the next week or the next 2 weeks, I don't know. But it has to happen. They can't just wait and then not get him. They have to get somebody. So again, Wildcat Rewind, it does, I think, depend on who Kentucky lands in the transfer portal. And once that happens, we'll have a conversation. Does Yugana Nyanzo become the starter? We all saw the highlight video that he put out recently. He's putting in work, and then that outside shot, it looks really good. Probably not going to be used in the Cal offense. Hate to say it, but it does look really good. Yugana Nyanzo is putting in the work right now to potentially become a starter. Final question here on today's episode, and this is kind of what I wanted to tackle on tomorrow's episode. What are the pros of Oscar not coming back? I want to dive into these a little bit here. But I also want to kind of carry this over into tomorrow's episode to discuss the players that may replace him. Because believe it or not, Kentucky is looking at guys in the transfer portal. I want to focus more on the pros and then talk about one individual pro in tomorrow's episode. So I think potentially getting a better center defensively through the transfer portal is a pro. Again, we'll discuss this tomorrow. We've got a couple of different options that Kentucky is looking at, and we'll run through them, and I want to get your thoughts on them. That is one of the pros. Oscar getting signed to an NBA team is also another pro. I think we talked about this on last episode and maybe the episode before that. Oscar Shibue benefits from staying in this year's draft, I think, more than he does returning because of the potential long-term money that he can make if he decides to stay in and he gets drafted. I am fearful that if he does return, it's going to hurt him long term. Now, as a fan of Kentucky, would I like to have him back? Yes. I think everybody agrees having him back would be a great morale booster for the program. I think he'd be a great experienced player to have in the locker room. We've talked about the positives. We've talked about the pros and cons of Shibue coming back. But I fear that for him individually, it will hurt him if he returns, projecting out what the rest of his career could look like. So I think that him staying in the draft is beneficial to him because I think this year is probably his best chance to get drafted. Unless next year's draft class for centers and forwards is just abysmal, which I don't think it's going to be. So right now we're sitting in a situation where I think that there are reasons to believe that Shibue not coming back is good for him and maybe good for Kentucky too because they get options to kind of maybe look around and get a new face in there that can do different things. And I'm not saying that what Shibue did was bad. I'm just saying that recalibrating that position, you know, refreshing that position is not always a terrible thing. I think the final thing here I want to talk about is Yugana Nyanzo does exist. He is going to get opportunities to play. And like Wildcat Rewind asked earlier, he has the opportunity to start depending on what Kentucky does in the portal. Getting him to develop more, period, is great. It doesn't really matter who Kentucky brings in through the portal. Yugana is going to play more this year. Yugana get to play more this year on Onyenzo. I'm excited to see what that looks like. I'm excited to see what Onyenzo does in a larger role defensively. So you've got somebody on roster that you can be excited about. You've got somebody coming in likely through the transfer portal that you can also be excited about as well. There are reasons to believe that Tshiebwe leaving is not the end of the world. If he does come back, it's great. If he doesn't, I get it. And I actually do hope that long-term, it's something that helps him out over the course of his career. I think financially, it would be good for him. But for Kentucky, it's, okay, we got to go get somebody now. So those are my thoughts on that. If you've got any thoughts on Oscar Tshiebwe coming, going, whatever it may be, you've got on Yenzo, you can leave all that in the YouTube comments below. And that's going to do it for today's episode of Locked On Kentucky. You can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On UK. You can follow me on Twitter at LanceDahl_. You can follow the show over on Instagram. That is at Kentucky Podcast. Questions, comments, concerns, leave them in the YouTube comments below. Hit me on the socials. I will see you all tomorrow for another episode of Locked On Kentucky. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day, and God bless.